Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Ton of hockey action. The Oilers back on the ice, and you are some fired up. No question. Again, we will take calls today at 105. We'll tell you that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring the night of the town, every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Tell Brendan, Chris, and Taylor that Oilers Now sent you. Momentarily, we're going to hook up with our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. This text comes in from Doomer out of Grand Prairie, who says, Bob, on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, at what point does Ken Holland start to do anything? Losing is a trending tradition in oil country, and Holland is growing that tradition at an incredible pace. Holland is in California enjoying the weather when the rest of the oil country is in shambles. What did fans do to deserve this type of treatment? At this point, the Oilers don't need a coaching change or a goalie. They need a GM change. That one comes to us from Doomer. And I will tell you that there are texts that are coming in on basically every aspect of the organization, which is what happens when you go 2-10-2 on a 14-game run. Again, you go 16-5, everybody gets credit. And when you go 2-10-2, everybody gets criticism. As we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, bring aboard John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. Hello, John. How you doing?
First of all, Bob, I want to say thank you.
For what?
You got me away from my snow plowing.
Oh.
That's exactly what I'm doing today. I am snow plowing. We got about 40 centimeters last night, so...
Well, the Stauffer, the humble Stauffer abode in the city south side, we don't have a snowplow.
Yeah.
But we do have a neighbor, and he likes hockey tickets. And he's
be nice to him.
He's a great kid. He's just
be
he's
nice to him.
He's in first,
well, I know. First we got our first winter storm of the year, kid. So I'm living the dream.
Did you say that's the first snowstorm of the year?
Yep. Yeah.
John, yesterday in our little cul-de-sac, they piled up roughly about 5 days ago, somewhere between an 18 to 22-foot snow, and the trucks were out yesterday, and they removed it for us. Because it was, and I'll credit the people from the city, because I'm sure what they usually get is people bitching and complaining. So I put a call in, and I just said, look, there's children from down the street. I don't even know some of these kids from the families further down the street, and they're coming into a cul-de-sac, and they're climbing up I said, I'm worried that somebody's going to get hurt, is what I said. Like, my kids are older. They're not doing that sort of stuff. But, kids are going to be kids, and they're going to be fun. And I learned stupid things the hard way. And so they were kind enough to come out and get that taken care of yesterday. So special thanks to the city for doing that for us. That was great. All right, John, it couldn't have, I mean, up 3-1 heading to the third period against a team that's been outscored by 23 goals in the third period all season, and just an absolute train wreck for the Oilers in the third period, and a brutal loss which the team could ill afford. And if oil country wasn't hot before, it's hot now. Give me your assessment.
It was ugly. There's no question about it, and quite frankly, you could feel the momentum change. I think every Oiler fan could feel it change at 3-2, and then you wonder what can the coaches do at that point to change the direction of the game? And unfortunately, nothing could be done, or nothing was done in order to alter that. And so it shouldn't really. It at 3-3 after the second Norris goal at 3-3, you knew nothing. You knew it was in doubt. And from that perspective, the emotional side of this thing is taking a much bigger toll than the actual practical side. It's hard. It was hard to watch.
Yep. And I mean, there's some people that just don't like the Oilers. Like that's there. I mean, there is a.
Oh yeah, but you have to, Bob. You have to respect, and I know you do. I know you do. You have to respect what the fans have gone through since 2006.
Absolutely.
And the roller coaster that they have lived. And you know, it's one thing if there was a consistency to the losing. But there became at certain times in the last 5 years so much hope, and it's almost worse now because there was so much hope. You know, whether it was the growth of McDavid, the growth of Draisaitl, you know, this team in the playoffs that year was that 2017, I think.
Yes.
And then you know, before the pandemic really caused the pause, how well the team was playing. And then this, and 16-5. I mean, that's why this is even more difficult. That's why this is even more difficult.
What I was going to say, John, just in terms of there's non-Oilers fans out there that are enjoying this. Some of it stems from Edmonton winning the lottery and getting McDavid. Ever since then, you know, you guys are on the clock. Boom, here we go, and you get off to a 16-5 start, and there was the special teams were great. The three goalies were all above nine. They were winning games without Mike Smith. They're all above 914. You know, Connor and Leon were putting up 2 points per game. There was concern from some of the fans about the Oilers' depth scoring. The 5-on-5 play was significant.
Yep.
And I think that was a fair assessment. And you know, John, that there were people internally in the organization pushing to look at certain players that were rumored to be out there available. Seattle has been a team in flux because it hasn't gone the way they thought, and thought, you know, they got to get bigger in the bottom six or it's going to come and eventually cost them. And I think it has. Here's the thing, John. When you're 16-5, everybody gets the credit, and when you go 2-10-2, it's not just one thing, is it? It's a multitude of things that puts you in that position.
No, and then you know, when you're 16-5, you're not forced to make adjustments. You're just doing everything right. Your coaching staff has the right messages. Now everybody's questioning every message, and that becomes the difficult part of it. And believe it, you know, there is a big difference from sitting in your living room or your family room watching on the big screen and being in the room and being behind the bench or being on the bench. And there are times where you think you know what's going to happen, you think you know how to fix it, and it's just not fixable. And that becomes the big challenge, is how do you fix it? How do you make it better? And, you know, we talk about this all the time, Bob, and I'm not making excuses at all, but the emotion of this game becomes such a factor. You know, not scoring the first goal, that's an emotional factor. Being up 3-1 and losing the lead in the third period, that's an emotional factor. How to manage your emotions. And to me, there is an expectation that the senior group of players has to manage that better. That's not on the coaches. Is there something on the coaches? Absolutely. But to me, a lot of this is on the players and how they manage themselves through these situations. Who can pick themselves up? We saw a little bit of that on Saturday night with Darnell Nurse's goal. You know, Dan, you know as well as I. You see it on Darnell more than anybody on this team. When he feels he needs to do something, he's playing in all three zones.
Yeah,
he's doing everything he can to be in all three zones. Just make sure he doesn't get caught in the defensive zone, when he's trying to defend. But those are the types of things you see that you think, yeah, something's going to happen. And you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen enough.
All right. So the starting point, and goaltending was part of the success through the first 21 games. All three goalies above 914.
Easy when you score 5 goals a game, though.
Stuart Skinner. Tough start. I didn't agree with Terry Jones's piece. I thought it was, you know, it's a 23-year-old goaltender. He's entitled to write what he wants. Don't personally agree that it was, you know, Anyhow, bottom line is Skinner's at 882 with a 2-3 record during this run, and he's been up and down. He's also gone 6-0 in the minors during that stretch. You got Mike Smith at 0-2-1 at 877 since coming back and then getting hurt again. And then Koskinen at 0-5-1, 866. Goaltending's been a factor, and people will say, well, that's also on management, right? And maybe till now, in fairness, they tried and were in hard on Markstrom, and they were also...
they were in on Kemper, too.
And they were in on Kemper. And if not, I don't know who was advising Philip Grubauer. But why would you possibly leave Colorado if you're the goalie there?
Well, you weren't going to get the term, nor were you getting the money in Denver that you were getting in Seattle. And here's the thing. Grubauer is a different guy. Grubauer is a different cat, Bob. He loves the outdoors, which is one of the reasons he loved being in Denver. But Seattle offers a similar scenario. And they offered more job security.
Yep.
They offered more job security.
But that, by Grubauer going to Seattle...
That was the domino effect, absolutely.
Now, we have... So, some will say, well, you know what? Ken Holland had to get a goalie. And the default position became Mike Smith after not getting Kemper. And and Dave Tippett's been tied to Mike Smith. Like I guess my point in it is...
Let's back up a bit. Mike Smith last year in the regular season was phenomenal.
923.
I mean, Mike Smith's value to this organization last season, and that's the only thing you base it on, is what he did for you and what his relationship with his teammates was phenomenal. So and what you were trying to do was you were trying to upgrade so that you had Kemper and Mike Smith.
Right.
You know, so I was laughing when somebody said, well, Kenny's not in town and he's not living it. Kenny Holland is living this every minute of every hour of every day. It is driving him around the bend. You can't tell me he's not trying to think six ways to Sunday to try to improve this hockey team. He knows the pressure. You could see that. You could hear that in his voice at the press conference last Tuesday. I mean, I've known Ken a long time. He knows he needs to win. He knows that this team can be better. But, you know, just because he's not in Edmonton doesn't mean he's not trying.
All right, I just want to circle, because it often starts in goaltending in this business. You know that. And, again, I'm not solely, like, it's a collective, that they're collectively in the you-know-what together. We all know that. People say, well, what about some options out there? Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know whether or not Fleury would waive to come to. Now, I also am led to believe that Colorado is looking at Marc-Andre Fleury, and that might provide an opportunity for the Oilers to revisit Kemper. Some people say, what about Carey Price? There's been an update out of Montreal on Carey Price, and it's not good. Basically, Carey Price is back to starting over in his rehab. To me, Carey Price would be an off-season thing. I don't even know how you'd make the money look. Money work, you'd have to do a lot of work, and you have to be sure that he's, like, they would have to eat a lot of money, which would cost you more assets. And then the further compound thing, Skinner ends up getting COVID. So he's probably not going to, I mean, I guess if he tested positive Saturday night after the game, which is a possibility, if he wasn't feeling well by the end of the game, we could be in a scenario where maybe I don't think he'd be cleared for Thursday, but maybe cleared for Saturday. But you know that they're thinking of ways, but we're not even sure. Like, and it's not excuses. Have you heard the same on Fleury? He does have the right to basically dictate a little where he'd theoretically go, would he not?
He certainly has a bit. There's no question about it. But is Chicago out of it? You know, this becomes the issue. Here's the other thing. The management group that's in Chicago right now, are they going to be the management group at the trade deadline? You know, that's, you know, they're going to hire a president and hire a general manager in Chicago. So you don't know what that issue compounds things.
Right.
I do think if Alan Walsh, who's Marc-Andre Fleury's agent, goes to the Blackhawks and says Mark would like to be moved to a contender at the deadline, then he will be moved. And the Blackhawks would acquiesce for the long term.
Okay.
But I don't think that day has come yet. I actually think that Flower is actually enjoying his time in Chicago right now.
Yeah.
So Listen, just to go back to the Oilers, this is not excuse building. My wife always says when I give her reasons, she says that those are excuses. This is not excuse building. This team is not playing well at times, and this team needs to improve in order to get back on track. That's right. The bottom line. Yep. And the question is does that mean you make major changes? I don't see that happening. But I do see, you know, the players having to look inward and trying to make adjustments in order to try to improve things.
Okay. So, it's funny with the coaching. One of the things that's befuddled me a little bit, Edmonton goes into St. Louis and Sam Marukov's paired with Bouchard. The other night, Lagesson was with Bouchard. I'm like, why have we not seen Keith with Bouchard? You bring Duncan Keith in.
Yeah.
He's played close to 1,200 games in the NHL. He's a veteran guy. Oh, he'd be perfect to play with Bouchard as a lefty-righty. And the only time they play together is when they're on the PK. So that's one where I'd say, okay, I understand people, because I'm thinking the same thing. Like, why is Lagesson with Bouchard? Why not play? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if that gets discussed, if that gets debated, but in my mind, that's a question I've been asking about, is with the pairings. You know,
here's what I would say to that is I do think at 2-10-2, the coaches have to be a little more open-minded. The coaches do have to say, okay, we got to try something different.
Yep.
Now, some would say Saturday they tried something different with the pairings. You know, was there any success there? Was CC with Nurse, was that any better? You know, that's an interesting one. But at the same time, you know, I was one of those guys, I liked Bouchard with Nurse. You know, I mean, and it's funny, you load up your top forward line with two players. Why wouldn't you put your two
yep.
most offensive defensemen together? I don't know. I mean, it's all very subjective. The decision is the coaches at this point, but they have to be open-minded and be and take some input, I think, at this point.
Elliot Friedman's was on Friday and he says, hey, it's not going to be good if the team misses the playoffs. That lends itself to the automatic question from the fan base concerned about McDavid. Jeff Jackson plays Jeff Jackson represents Connor. He's got, by the way, he also represents Evan Bouchard.
That's right.
So I find this, I would say it's probably a little premature to be making that. Like, John, the reality of the situation is if the order, and some fans right now say, Stauffer, there's no way they can get out of this. I think the team can get out of this, and I think they're in the right division to get out of this, John. What about you?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, they have games in hand now. I mean, the team to watch right now that's ahead of them is San Jose. What's going to happen in San Jose? They've played so many more games. I know you have to win the games in hand, and that's going to be the pressure during the Olympic break, the so-called Olympic break, for the Oilers to make up some ground. The components that went 16-5 are still on this club, Bob.
Yes.
The power play, you know, isn't what it was that first little while. So what adjustments need to be made there? Have the teams around the league made enough adjustments to the power play?
Penalty and killing's been in a free
fall. Last I checked, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins not in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I think we always, and I'm one of those guys, I always undervalue him on this club. But, you know, he does things, a lot of little things
he
well.
He touches every aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And it's the word patience is not one that every Oiler fan wants to hear. But you know what? How many wins can they string together for people to stop complaining? I don't know. I don't have that answer.
Yeah,
and they got a tough team coming into town on Thursday.
I do think it's understandable when a team goes 2-10-2 that you're going to have frustrated, exasperated fans.
Absolutely. They have every right to.
That comes with the territory.
I'd be more worried if they weren't complaining at all, Bob.
I'll say this. They worked a lot on one-on-one, two-on-two compete drills, and I think there is a perception that the team can be boxed and pushed out of games, and they're the easier team to play against.
Yeah.
And as we know, the pro and amateur meetings are taking place. They got to find a way to get some more size in the lineup up front. Like for me, and sometimes that might mean taking a chance on a guy that's a fourth line guy in another organization that maybe isn't playing or isn't the right fit for one man's junk is another man's treasure. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen,
there was a big, there was a, Stenlund is down on a one-way deal right now of Columbus. We mentioned Bastian before, and I'm talking about Bastian before he went on waivers. Like, there was people knew he was not playing in Seattle, and that situation, and they knew the moment he went on waivers, New Jersey, five teams claimed the guy. So
he's a tough guy in any team at this point in the COVID year with a taxi squad. You need a Nick Bastian around your team.
Yeah, and I just did not understand, you know, why the team wasn't a little bit more proactive, and it's you know, whatever.
The thing is, and I mean, I am not Dave Tippett. I'm not doing Dave Tippett's job, but in my opinion, when you play Leon and Connor together, you're playing them together for 23 minutes. If you separate them, you're playing for 46.
Well, they're separated now. Great stuff, John. We'll see what sort of passion, and I expect a lot on the phone lines coming up at 105 in exasperation.
I might have to tune in while I'm using my snowblower.
All right, there you have it. That's John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling, you need to get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. Back with the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown. When we return on Oilers Now, it's 12:55 at Edmonton.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, 12:57 in Edmonton. And we are going to head into the Oilers Now injury report brought to you daily by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. They are the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Stuart Skinner placed in COVID protocol. By my count, 21 Oilers at one time or another have gone in COVID protocol. Kyle Turris is still in that protocol. Was not on the ice today. Dylan Holloway, likely to come out of it in the next couple days and to be assigned finally to the American Hockey League. Jay Woodcroft coming up today at 105. Mike Smith did not practice with the main group, out with that ligament issue with his thumb. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did not practice with the main group. He is out with a lower body challenge. Chris Russell was actually with Evan Bouchard today, which is a sign that he might be in the third pairing ready to go for Thursday's game. And if that happens, the Oilers will have to make a roster move. Very quickly, elsewhere around the NHL, Brendan, anything you wanted to shed some light on?
Yeah, just that TJ Oshie is going to miss some time for Washington with an upper body injury.
2 to 3 weeks as well for Connor Brown, who played with a broken jaw against Calgary, scored in that game, was out of lineup Saturday. So he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back, you on our River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.